This morning, I'm going to talk about a subject that I'm pretty sure every one of you here today are interested in. As you probably already know, the subject is money. We think about it a lot. We spend it a lot. But sometimes we don't really talk about it all that much, especially in the church. And I think that's tragic because actually the Bible has a lot to say about money, about what God has given us and how we're supposed to handle it. Jesus himself talked about it several times. In his little short Sermon on the Mount that we're currently studying, he included that important topic. I think it's safe to assume that if money is important to Jesus, it needs to be important to us. It's an important subject. So what did Jesus have to say? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Matthew 6:19, as was just read, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Here Jesus makes it very clear we can either have the choice of laying up treasures on this earth or laying up treasures in heaven. And there's a big difference. Now, before we get into this discussion, I think it's important to note a couple of things about this whole topic. First of all, Jesus is not saying here that it is not good to save money. There are many other scriptures that talk about the importance of that. Jesus is not negating that. There's wisdom in wisely saving. Another thing Jesus is not saying here, he is not saying that it is wrong to be wealthy. A number of people in the Bible were wealthy people. For some it was a benefit, for some it was not so much. But think about men like in the Old Testament, like Abraham and Lot. They were very wealthy as a result of God's blessing in their life. I think of New Testament characters like Abigail and Joseph of Arimathea. They were very clearly wealthy people, but it wasn't that their wealth controlled them. They saw their wealth as a gift from God. If you study their lives carefully, you see that they were good stewards of what God had entrusted to them, and they used their money for the glory of God. So wealth is not necessarily wrong. Although it can be improperly handled, it's not necessarily wrong. And when you think about it, it's a good thing that wealth isn't wrong, because you know what? We live in the wealthiest land on the earth. I don't know if you know it or not, but we are wealthy compared to just about any other country. If you've ever traveled overseas, you will realize just how wealthy you are. I know when I visited Kenya and when I visited India, I couldn't believe the poverty that some people live in. So we are wealthy people. Americans are wealthy people. Even if you are at the poverty level, you are more wealthy than 86% of the people in this world. And today here, most of us are more wealthy than 98% of the people in the world. And so when it comes to wealth, sometimes we think, well, that's for those people who are super wealthy. Listen, comparatively, historically, and otherwise, we are all amazingly wealthy. And actually, when Jesus gave these words, we were wealthy than I'm sure most of those who heard his words on that mountainside when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. We're wealthier than most of them. So the words he had to say to them were very important at the time, and they're still very important to us as well. You see, Jesus is not talking so much about how much you have. He's talking about what you do with what you have. Sometimes we think, oh, if only I had $300,000, this is what I would do. When God sometimes is asking, what are you doing with your $200? What are you doing with your $5,000? And no matter how much you have, no matter how much I have, all of us are involved in either storing up things on this earth or storing up things in heaven. And Jesus is very clear. He says, don't lay up your treasure in heaven. He said, that's a bad investment. Or don't lay up your treasure on earth. That's a bad investment. Lay up your treasure in heaven. That's a good investment. Because he says, on earth, there can be problems. He brings up things like rust. He brings up things like having things stolen. He even brings up stuff like moths. You see, we need to understand that in the days of the New Testament, wealth wasn't just money. Wealth was found in various forms. It included money. Sometimes it included coins. Sometimes it included precious jewels. Sometimes it included precious metals. Sometimes it included land. Sometimes it included livestock. But Jesus' point here is just that those kinds of earthly things are not necessarily secure. They're not necessarily a good investment. You know, if you have precious metals, they can rust. If you have clothing, and oftentimes wealthy people would invest a lot of money in clothing because all the clothing was handmade, and some of it was very expensive, using imported materials and those kinds of things to make them. And so people would pour a lot of money sometimes into clothing if they had a lot of money, and then what could happen? Well, those little pesky flying moths would eat holes in them, and then what good were they? And the precious metals could end up being tarnished and rust away. And so Jesus is just saying there's a better place to invest what you have. Another thing we need to understand that is that in our world today, we can put our money kind of in a safe place. Some of you may have money you've put in your IRAs or your mutual funds. Those are pretty safe places to put them. You can put them in a bank. And if you have over $100,000, you can put it in more than one bank because every bank guarantees your money up to $100,000. In the New Testament, they didn't have that kind of stuff. If people were wealthy, they had to find a place to put their wealth. They had to find a place to put their money and all this stuff that was worth so much to them. And so oftentimes they would dig a hole in a wall in their house. Sometimes they would dig a hole in the floor and then try to camouflage it, so that no one would know where all of their riches were. And sometimes they would go out into one of their fields and they would put their wealth and they would bury it somewhere in some kind of container and they would just hope no one saw them do that. Because just like that, if someone found where they put their treasures, all of their wealth would be gone. And so what Jesus is talking about here was very real to them. They understood that, man, when you get wealthy, you have to be really careful or you can lose it all just like that. And that's the point Jesus is making. If we make earth the focus of where we put our financial investments, it can go wrong. Varmints can get to it, flooding can get to it, rust can get to it, bugs can get to it, and even thieves can get to it. You see, when you lay your treasure in heaven, you don't have to worry about all that stuff. You realize that if my treasure's in heaven, then that's a secure investment. Nothing can take that away. That's pretty exciting, that there's some kind of investment we can actually count on. Heaven's the safest place to invest. And then Jesus adds these words in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, this isn't just a matter of practicality, as practical as it is. This is a matter of the heart. Just like throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, in this upside-down kingdom explanation, is making it clear that all of these issues are fundamentally an issue of what's going on deep inside, what's going on deep within our hearts. And so he makes that point, and he makes the point that wherever your investment is, that's where your heart will be. I think you understand this at least a little bit. If you invest in the work of the Lord, your heart will be invested with the work of the Lord. If you invest your finances with the proclamation of God's word, your heart will be with the proclamation of God's word. If you invest your finances with missions throughout the world, your heart is going to be burdened for missions. There's a connection there. And Jesus is saying, we need to get to the heart issue here. It's a matter of the heart. And that's really what Jesus is saying to them, and that's really what Jesus even today is saying to us. He's saying, where's your heart? When it comes to your finances, where is your heart? And when you really think this through, investing in eternity really makes sense. We've kind of been reminded of that in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you've been following the news, but there's a jet airplane for sale. Have you heard about it? It's a 1962 Lockheed Jetstar. It was a jet airplane owned by Elvis Presley and his father. And it's for sale right now. Last year, a man bought it for $430,000. And he's ready to sell it. And just in case you're interested, bids are being accepted until the 27th of July. But let me tell you a little bit more about that jet. When you look at it, it looks like a piece of junk. It's parked on a tarmac near an airport in New Mexico and is sitting outside. The paint is peeling off. The windshield is broken out. The upholstery, which, by the way, is made of red velvet, is tearing. It has beautiful woodwork inside of the airplane, and it also has red shag carpet. But let me also add that the entire part of the, what is it, the cockpit, the entire cockpit needs totally reworked, and it does not have an engine. Now, I don't want you to do that now, but later today, go online, Google Elvis Presley jet, and you'll see a picture of this thing, and you'll say, that looks like a piece of junk. Listen, when Elvis Presley invested in that in the 1960s, it was not a piece of junk. It was an investment. He was pouring his money into this thing to fly him all over the world to promote his fame and his business. And here we are, some 40 years later. The thing has not even been flown for like 40 years. And what is it now? Just a piece of junk. I hope you realize that within 40 to 50 years, the car that you're driving right now is probably either going to be in a junkyard somewhere, or it will have already been smashed and melted down and made into something else. The house you are living in is probably in 200 years, probably will not even be standing anymore. It could be, but probably not. It'll probably be torn down and replaced with something else. It doesn't even make sense when you really think about it to pour all of our money and time and thought and energy into things of this world. They do not last. So let me ask you, where is your focus? Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? Jesus goes on with these words in verse 22. You know, our focus is really important. And so he uses this word picture of the eye. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you in darkness, how great is the darkness? Here Jesus is using an illustration of the eye something we can relate to just relate to how this whole thing works. And what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about what he's been talking about. He still has the idea of laying your treasures on earth or laying up your treasures in heaven. And he's saying our eye is like a window. And if our vision is clouded, it's going to affect all that's inside of us. If a window is clear, the light all comes in. If a window is clouded and covered with dirt and mud and everything, a whole bunch of light doesn't make it in there. And so Jesus is saying, well, it's like that. If our focus, if our eyes are on this earth, it's like a dirty window where all this light is not allowed to be flowed, is not allowed to come into our life. And if our eyes are on heaven, then they're like they're clear, and so the light can flood our entire being. You see, what we do with money affects everything about our life. It affects all of us. All of our being, all of our heart, all of our passions, all of our focus. And so he makes this point so strong how important this is, and then he concludes this discussion with these serious words. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And we don't even think we like that last statement, because there's a part of us that says, well, maybe I can serve God a little bit over here, and maybe I can serve wealth a little bit over here. And Jesus is saying, forget it. It's one or the other. Either you're serving God or you're serving your money. You know, money is a wonderful tool, but it's a horrible master. And Jesus wants us to very clearly see that is important. So let me ask you, who's your master? Is it God, or is it your stuff, your money, your possessions? If money is your master, it's going to darken every part of your life. If you're living for this world and everything this world has to offer and everything you can buy in this world, your life will be darkened. If God is your master, light's going to flood your soul. It's going to affect everything you are, everything you do. If money is your master, your heart is in the wrong place. If God is your master, your heart is in the right place. So let me ask you, when you evaluate the way you handle your money, and there's a part of you that probably understands you do this at least every month or so, kind of take a look at where the money came from and where the money went. Let me ask you, does it reflect kingdom value, or does it reflect earthly values? 40 years from now, will your legacy be that of the kind of thing like a 40-year-old piece of junk? Or will it be the things that will last forever? This last Monday, my wife and I were coming back from a wonderful week of babysitting our one-year-old grandson in Georgia. We were in the airport. It's interesting in airports because you see a whole bunch of people and you don't know any of them. And I was sitting in the airport, and we were sitting in the airport, and there was a young man who sat down, and he looked really sharp. He looked well-dressed. He looked, you know, like he really was a good businessman. He sat down and he pulled out a magazine. Guess what the name of the magazine was? Money Magazine. I thought, that fits. He has all the look of success. He's trying to be even more successful. Now, I want to tell you, I have nothing against Money Magazine. I'm sure there's some great advice in Money Magazine. I'm sure there's wise investment strategies in Money Magazine. So I'm not opposed to the magazine. I'm not opposed to people reading the magazine, but I can almost guarantee you this. Money Magazine will never tell you to lay up your treasures in heaven instead of laying them up on earth. It will never say that. It will never say where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. although it's appealing to the heart that is focused on this earth. It will never say there's more important things than this earth. Its basic philosophy is this is all there is, so you better make the best of it. Now again, I'm all for being a good steward. The Bible talks a lot about good stewardship. I'm all for doing those kinds of things. But listen, friends, we cannot leave God out of this picture when it comes to money. He has to be central to the picture, not a peripheral to the picture. Jesus makes it clear focusing on this earth is a horrible way to live. And I think you realize in our country this month, we've been reminded of that in a very scary way. Kate Spade was a well-known, famous fashion designer, well-known for her handbags, for her purses, for her high heels. She lived in New York, lived in an upscale Manhattan apartment. She had it all. And on June 5th, she took her own life. 8 days later, Anthony Bourdain, 3 days later, it was on June 8th, 3 days later, Anthony Bourdain, world-famous chef, traveled all over the world, worked for CNN, had a famous program called Parts Unknown, where he'd visit places and talk about their cuisine and their food and all the adventure of that kind of travel, was in France, took his own life. And people are saying, what is going on here? Because those people had everything that most people in this world are looking for, fame and even more importantly, money. They had it all. They had more than they could ever use. And yet, Kate Spade, age 55, Anthony Bourdain, age 61, both took their lives. After reaching what most people are aiming for, they said, life is no longer worth living. Listen, dear friend, if that's the American dream, I want no part of it. It's not worth it. You see, a relationship with God, focusing on the eternal, is what really matters, and it really matters throughout your whole life. Focusing on this earth, you will someday reach the point where you will think, I'm not even sure it's worth living anymore. And I tell you, if you have eternal values in mind, you will never think that way. God gives purpose and meaning to life. He fills the void that people are looking for. And that's why where a heart is so important. One commentator said, there is an ever-present danger that you will want to serve money ahead of God. Oh boy, it's true. I don't know about you, but sometimes, like, I remember we were able actually to use a condominium, like in Colorado, in the mountains of Colorado, because we had some friends who owned one and let us use it 1 week. For our family. And it was a pretty upscale place, and I remember thinking, this kind of looks like fun. I wonder what it would really be like to live like this all the time. I thought, I'd like to try it. And we had a week, and we tried it. But you know, that's not what really matters. What really matters is eternity. And investing in the things that will matter not just 40 years from now, but 4,000 years from now. Not just that, but 4 million years from now. Do you realize you can invest in things that will matter right now, that will matter 4 million years from now? That's pretty exciting. Instead of investing in a 1962 jet, invest in something that will matter 4 million years from now. You know, we talk about this, we understand what Jesus said here, and we I think most people would say, we believe the words of Jesus. Most followers of Jesus would say, I believe what Jesus has to say here. I believe that Jesus is accurate, and I believe in his points. But you know what? I'm not sure people really believe it. Because if you look at statistics, it's pretty troubling. What people are doing with their money. Did you know that those who give 10%, give a tithe, 10%, typically make up 10 to 25% of any congregation? Did you know that of churchgoers in our country, do you know what the average contribution of people's income is? Do you know how much, you know what percentage they give in an average year toward the work of the Lord? 2.5%. Do you realize that in the Great Depression, between 1929 and 1939, do you know what the average giving was when people had nothing to give? 3.3%. In our society today, people are giving less, percentage-wise, than people did during the Great Depression. And my question is, do we really believe the words of Jesus or not? Do you understand how many billions of dollars would come into the work of the Lord in the United States of America and throughout the world through missions if people gave more generously? Now, I do want to say this. This is one of the most generous churches I know. I don't know what any of you give individually. I don't want to know. I never want to know. But I know there's a spirit of generosity in this church. I have learned about generosity from this church. So in many ways, I feel like I'm speaking to people who already get this. But I do think it's important that all of us really examine our hearts and say, do I really believe what Jesus said? Is my heart really on eternal things? Am I really investing in the things that will matter forever? And what are some of those things? What are the kinds of things that will last forever? I think it includes things like the proclamation of God's word. I think it includes things related to the gospel and evangelism. Reaching people for Christ, lost people for Christ. I think it involves things about the Great Commission of making disciples. I think it has to do with reaching the world because Jesus has always had a heart for the world. God the Father, God the Son have always had a heart for all the nations. All of those kinds of ways, all of those kinds of things are the things that will matter 4,000, 4 million years from now. So, let me just ask you again. Where is your heart? Where is your treasure? The preacher G. Campbell Morgan wrote these words. You are to remember with the passion burning within you that you are not a child of today. You are not of the earth. You are of more than dust. You are the child of tomorrow. You are of the eternities. You are the offspring of deity. The measurements of your lives cannot be circumscribed by the point where the blue sky kisses the green earth. All the fact of your life cannot be encompassed in one small sphere upon which you live. You belong to the infinite. If you make your fortune on the earth, poor, sorry, silly soul, you have made a fortune and stored it in a place where you cannot hold it. Make your fortune, but store it where it will greet you in the dawning of the new morning. You know what really matters? Eternity really matters. May we never forget that. Father, I thank you for the many generous people in this church congregation. I thank you that so many of them are laying up treasures in heaven. And I pray that every one of us today will reflect seriously on that part of our lives and ask ourselves if we're really doing that, if we're serving you or if we're serving money. And I pray that our hearts will be in the right place so that our treasures will be in the right place. For your glory, we pray these things. Amen.